There we go. Let's get Alvin out of here and get some serious talk time. I got Ron from Georgia, one of my new students, on, and he was asking a question about the jab, and I was trying to go into an explanation on what I think's going on here, okay? I've heard about a year or so ago, maybe a little longer, that once you get the jab, that they can literally take this software, CRISPR, and go in and write Rothschilds on your DNA. Just exactly like all the Monsanto stuff that's gone on. There was a case up in Canada. They've been adjudicated. This has come out in the courts. Okay, the guy has Monsanto, whatever, in one field. The guy next door, the farmer, doesn't. The Monsanto field germinates the other field, and they declare that other guy's crop their property because of the Monsanto patents. Okay.
Where right, and obviously you can become copyrighted material of Moderna or Pfizer or whoever.
Okay. There's different countries. I heard the other day there's countries around the world that are starting whole new bodies of law for transhumans. Okay. Now, technically, this has all been based on fraud. Okay.
Correct.
I don't know how far you'll get with that. All right. But I believe that one of the things they're attempting to accomplish here is a legal phrase called perfecting collateral. See, you're collateral now, but you're not perfected. You can still file this affidavit and change your status and get out of it. After the jab, technically, you may not be.
And I don't
that
know
make
that
sense?
They have. Well, maybe they do have the records to know and check.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
They
Ron
got,
didn't get
they
the
got,
jab.
They got who got the jab, what company is from, what batch it was from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yep, they got it all.
No.
They also got your DNA out of it, too, by the way, with the test.
It's just ungodly, everything that they've gotten away with.
Well, it's Satan. Why wouldn't it be ungodly?
No. Yeah. So anyway, okay. I'll have that conversation with my accountant, and he may run into that roadblock.
Listen,
if
tell
he
your
decides
accountant,
to do it. But.
Tell your accountant this. If he's interested or he's got questions, I'm going to make you this offer. I'll speak with him personally and show him what's going on if he's curious and wants to know.
Okay.
All right. So what you want to do with him is this. You want to sit down and start the conversation with, listen, I want you and I to agree and have some common ground. Okay, what's he going to say? No? All right. So you go, let's agree that there's only two political statuses. You're either free or you're a slave. You think he's going to agree to that? Yes. Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Now take him over to 26 CFR 1.1-1A. That's the IRS Code of Federal Regulations. 26 CFR 1.1-1, parentheses, small a. And read that jurisdictional statement to him. And it says, an income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents. And to the extent of 871B and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. Now, you say, which one's the slaves and which one's the free man?
And those two exceptions, when I looked them up, it's basically if you worked in Washington, D.C. or something with capital gains related to Washington, D.C.
It's to corporations like Union Pacific Railroad that are chartered by the federal government. And because the corporation's given its life by the federal government, when you own Union Pacific bonds and you get coupon payments and profits off of that, you owe the tax on it. That's one of them.
Okay.
And that's the reason. The other one is one that I wouldn't expect any of our people to ever even think about if they understood it. And that's if you truly expatriate the country. You're not expatriating here. You're repatriating to the status they've hidden from you. Expatriation is changing your passport for another slave country's passport. Why would anyone that gets these God-given rights that only two societies in the history of the planet have ever had for any extended length of time, the first 200 years of Rome and the first 200 years of our country, it's been hidden from us, and we now know what the scam is. We can reaccess it. If you reaccess that status, why in the hell would you ever change that for another slave country's passport? You wouldn't.
Yep.
Okay, so that one's moot. The other one's viable. If you don't want to pay the tax, sell your damn railroad bonds. Quit working for the federal government, whatever.
Yeah, which doesn't apply to me or most people anyway. So
no, it applies to about a third of the population, unfortunately. Some huge amount of the population works for the federal government. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
So anyway, Ron,
Roger,
I'll talk to you on the Daily Show.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your answers. I'll talk to you later.
You're a good student. Look forward to talking to you. Thanks for calling, Ron. Who's next, Sam?
Thank you.
Mark in Oklahoma. Well, at least we're getting out of California, Mark.
Hello.
Yes, sir. How can we do you for?
Well, my name is Ralph. We talked before.
Oh, I thought he said Mark. It's Ralph, not Mark.
Yeah, Ralph from Connecticut.
Oh, I thought he said Mark from Oklahoma. Hey, Ralph. Yeah, I remember talking to you.
How you doing? Listen, I came up. These arguments came up recently last month in an appellate court, Second District, July 26, 2022, using these arguments to try to get out of a post-conviction, I guess it was a felony of sorts. But the judge went crazy, and he excoriated the petitioner by saying that he found the petition to be frivolous and patently without merit. So basically, the man made the arguments of the de jure citizen versus the federal citizen, the 14th Amendment citizenship, etc. And basically, the guy was right. I mean, he was talking good, real good legal theory. But the judge just came down on him like a maniac.
Okay.
I think
okay,
I
my question.
All
right.
What do you think?
Hold on. I want to ask you a question. Had the guy filed an affidavit with the Secretary of State?
No, I don't think he did.
All right. Well, that's why the judge. All right. Hold on, Ralph. Hold on. That's why the judge could do all that, because he hasn't severed his status and changed it properly. The only way you can do it is with the Secretary of State. You can't go into a district court and argue it. And if he went into a district court, you said it was an appellate level court. If he didn't bring
those. Appellate state court.
Okay. Well, if they don't bring those
appellate court.
Ralph, are you going to let me talk? If they don't bring those arguments up at the first level, they can't bring them up at the appellate level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the circumstances behind this guy, but if he didn't have the affidavit on file with the Secretary of State, he's urinating into the wind, and that's why he got the results he did. And Connecticut is incredibly notorious.
Yeah, I know. I'm in court now on the same issues. I'm using those issues in a real estate matter, but only peripherally, because basically, I know they're going to try and come down hard on me on this, but basically, I'm with you there. Basically, he never went and filed the proper papers with the Secretary of State of the United States, right?
If he didn't,
I mean, that's basically
changed.
It, isn't it?
If you don't do that, nothing changes, because he's the only guy that can make the changes. Robert Barnes, who's a pretty damn sharp attorney, okay? All right?
Yeah.
I heard him make the statement about Alex Jones's Connecticut court trial. He said he's not going to get any justice at the appellate or the Supreme Court level. The Connecticut case has to go to the United States Supreme Court for him to get any justice, because their whole damn court system is totally 100% corrupt. That's Robert Barnes.
You can't even believe how corrupt. Simplest concepts, legal theories, women judges, men judges, all of them. And I was even in court with a guy that I knew out in California. He didn't recuse himself, and he's a judge there. So I'm saving that, you know, as a last straw if they really try to, you know, really take me over the coals. But anyway, Robert Barnes is right. Connecticut judicial system, absolutely hopeless, and it's very depressing to have to really see what they're doing and know that you have a lot on the line.
Way too many Wall Street long noses living up there for it not to be correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It is so totally corrupt that I just got noticed that I've been there's a final judgment against me on a case that I have, and I know I got to go up on appeal. And it's a simple case. It's easy. I mean, all I have to do is follow the law, and I win the case. But they won't do it. And that, I just wanted to let you know that Connecticut is a monstrosity.
I don't even want to travel through there, so thanks. I already knew that, though.
Basically, like I said last time I talked to you, that I'll either go to Ecuador or Mexico. I'd love to just get out of here, but I'm tied down on this these legal matters here. And it's making me very difficult to leave the country. And basically, they've destroyed. I mean, this is called the Constitution State. I mean,
yeah,
come on,
right.
Roger. I mean, this is really totally disgusting.
Oy vey.
Basically,
it's this constitution of the synagogue. Oy vey.
Yeah, well, that's really true, as is. I had six judges. One I knew, and he wanted me to get him into the Hollywood movie business because I produced a number of films out in Hollywood. And I never did, and I gave a party once. He came and said, oh, come on, why don't you come and get me into the movie industry? And the judge, now he's a judge there, and he was deciding one of my cases. I don't know if he recognized me, but I didn't recognize him at first because I met him about 20 years ago, and he wanted to be a lawyer for films. And I said, well, I'll recommend you to a few. But he got really mad at me, I guess, and I invited him into another party, and he because I was a somewhat prominent attorney out there in Beverly Hills for quite a while. And basically, but I made a lot of enemies there, too. So I had to make an exit from California, for two reasons. My parents got ill. I came back to I closed my law offices, and that was the end of me in California. But I've been a lawyer for over 20 years.
That's probably a blessing for you.
Well, yeah, because I know when they're BSing me, you know. And basically, you're invaluable to the people that you're talking to. And I know they're struggling with a lot of this stuff because it is hard. I mean, I've had all this legal training, and I've practice law. I was a trial attorney as well. So, but I could see how come, because it took even me a long time to nail this stuff down.
I had a 31-year, I can't remember what type of attorney he was. He'd been practicing for 31 years and wants to have a private consultation with me.
Yeah,
a practicing attorney for 31 years.
Yeah, and I can see why, because I said to myself, well, why did I see this? Why, with all my legal training and, I guess, supposed brainwashing to a certain extent, why could I not see what was so simple? That you either consent, and then you go to the Secretary of State, and you say, I withdraw, period. And when you came up with it right away, because I thought of it, I said, you know, there must be something about him not consenting or not consenting to allowing them, he allowed them without going to the Secretary of State to just excoriate the hell out of them.
If he'd have had that affidavit on file because of that 1835 court case, he could have brought it and admitted it into the proceedings, and it bypassed the rules of evidence. And there's the statement in the only guy in the entire federal government that has authority over citizenship and matters of citizenship. The judge at the appellate level couldn't have denied that.
But the 1835 case, do you have a name for that case?
Oh, man.
Do you remember it offhand?
I have so much trouble with this.
I know you've read thousands of cases.
It's just that the style of it is very unusual, okay? I'm going to pronounce it the best I can. Ubuntu v. D-R-C, D-A-R-C-Y or E-Y. And it's 1835, and I believe it's in Peters. You know, Peters and Wheat were the first two groups of books for the audience here at the start of the country.
Right.
There was nobody that put out like they do now a Supreme Court Journal where all the cases are in there. And these two guys, Wheat and Peters, were the clerks of the court, and they compiled all the cases in those years, and that's why those books have their names on them.
Well, they're pretty dusty books, too, all that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But you see, the reason that's extra important, Ralph, is because there wasn't a 14th Amendment and a secondary status then. It all deals with the primary status. And basically, the court case says it, a passport, is an ex parte document that's issued by the Secretary of State under the law of nations, under Vattel's law of nations, which presents you to a foreign country. However, if it is a matter of citizenship, the passport is an ex parte document, and whatever paperwork is contained in the possession of the Secretary of State, if admissible in a court of law, should be considered the higher and better evidence. That's why we suggest you do it in affidavit form.
Yeah.
You can do a simple declaration. That. You can do a simple declaration, but if you do it with an affidavit form, it puts a little extra layer of icing on there for you.
Well, you know, when you argue jurisdiction and you bring up these, you know, that'll freak out. I have a bunch of women judges. They are really vicious. I don't know what it is about women judges.
Women,
they're almost as vicious.
Well, hold it. Ralph. I'm going to stop you.
Men judge.
I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to insert a Bible verse. Women will rule over
ahead,
you,
I need it.
And children will be your oppressors.
Wow. Yeah, I'll go for that. But anyway, that's basically the case that I read, and this poor guy, it's called People versus Brown. So if you just type it in, it'll probably come up in Illinois. Because it's recent, last month.
All right.
So,
well,
but it really was upsetting at first because the arguments were good. But the judge said, oh, this is so frivolous. It's unbelievable. 168-page document. Oh, how can anybody get through this, you know, and actually do, oh, these people, oh, you know, that kind of thing. And
he had 100,
but they don't look at...
He had 168-page affidavit.
Yeah,
well,
really
I don't blame the judge. There's probably all kinds
either.
Of crap in there.
Yeah. I mean, you got to keep it short and sweet. And basically, that's what I have done always with all my arguments. And I never lost a case except once. And there's a long story on that. But anyway, I wanted to bring that to your attention because if anybody's listening now, they're going to learn a lot. You have to, as you stated, you got to go to the attorney, the secretary of the
he's
state.
The only guy.
The United
he's the only
states
guy. And the reason, you know why he's got that authority, Ralph? And then I'm going to let you go because I got other people behind
you. Sure.
The reason he's got that authority is because he's always been the one responsible for issuing passports. And if he's going to issue you a passport representing you to a foreign nation, he's got to know what your legal personality is now, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's a foreign nation.
That's
here
why
in
he's
Connecticut,
got that.
Where I am, and then there's the federal government, right? And so that gets me out, basically, when I've filed my affidavit, and that was returned to me, and basically I'm out. But I know that if I bring that up, I don't need this to win the case, but I really want to bring it up at some point in the case that I'm in right now.
Well, bring if you
that it, there's it a record
the,
of it.
If you hadn't brought it up at the lower level, you can't bring it up at the upper levels.
But
it
I mean, I'm
now.
Still in the lower level.
Okay.
So in other words, they're trying to issue a summary judgment, and basically the liability phase is over. Now they're going to see how much I owe, like, I don't know, $300,000, whatever. You know,
okay.
and then I'm courts, I have to appeal.
But anyway... I hope you get out of it.
Well,
I got a bunch of people back up.
Are you kidding? This is such dynamite that basically I put a notice, and then I'll let you go because I know you other people are talking. But I put a notice in the paper that I was not a 14th Amendment citizen, and I did that even before the case was filed. So already for 4 weeks, it was in one of the Connecticut Record Journal, whatever, that I am not a 14th Amendment citizen. Period.
Public record. I bet you didn't get anybody disagreeing with you. We got a break, Ralph. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you later. See y'all in a minute.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Change the world.
Trying. We're trying, boss. We're pedaling just as hard as we can pedal. We're trying to change this whole world. It's damn difficult, I'm telling you. Roger Sales back with you here after the commercial interruption, and we got somebody on the phone there that's wanting to talk to us, Sam. Dorothy in Mexico. I have exchanged emails with this woman, I believe. Hi, Dorothy.
Yes. Hi, Roger. You sure have. And I'm finally calling you to say thank you, because you're talking to a newly national
Congratulations.
Individual.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's all due to you. Listen, I had a couple of questions that are kind of garden variety. I think I know the answers, but I just want to be sure. And then I've got a couple of questions that are a little bit more esoteric. So the easy ones are, if I move to another state, do I have to resubmit my documents to the Attorney General and all the local
probably
officials?
wouldn't be a bad idea if you're going to live there.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Okay, I'm renewing my passport in 7 years. Do I send my declaration then?
Yeah, are you? You say you're renewing your passport in 7 years, or are you going to renew it now?
Yeah, I got 7 years left on it.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's your old legal personality. You want a new passport of some sort, at least a card with your new legal personality. Because now you got locked back to the affidavit, and it only costs you $30. You live in Mexico. You don't have to have a passport book to travel back and forth, but you do have to have a passport card. Okay.
That's
now, if
correct.
You were going to come down here and visit me in Ecuador, you'd have to have your passport book, because they'd want to do the visa stamps in and out. Okay. But
sure.
Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean don't have that agreement with the U.S. You can travel on a passport card. My suggestion is, I bet you can afford $30, right?
Oh, I can manage that.
Okay. Do another renewal. They'll ask you to send your current passport in. They'll send it back to you immediately. Then they'll process your new legal personality passport card and send that back to you when they've got it processed. And you'll have both.
Okay. Well, I've got both now.
Well, no, you don't. You've only got one if you've only got one passport.
I have my passport and I have a passport card. Because that's what I
yes,
use to cross
but,
the border.
But you're missing my point.
They're in your old legal personality. You want a new one, I would think, in your new legal national personality. So that's why you do this, even though you've got an open passport.
Okay, got it. Okay, my next easy question is, as a national, am I allowed to vote?
Yes, this has come up recently. What we suggest that people do is go to the supervisor of elections, take your affidavit down after you've given everybody notice, and request that they change you from a voter to an elector. Here's the big secret. Under the heading lawfully, under the great heading of rights, there's two subcategories. One is civil rights, the rights that you have among the other people in the society, and the other is political rights, your right to run for office, to vote, etc. The 14th Amendment does not give you political rights. It only gives you civil rights. That's why they call voting a franchise, because they've had to give you the political rights so you can participate in their political theater, thinking that you're doing something meaningful.
All right, great. Okay, now for the different questions. I know that if I want to open a bank account in another country, the FATCA regulations are applicable to citizens.
Nope. Give them your affidavit and get your account opened. Okay. The FATCA laws were passed 15 years ago, 14, 15, something like that, and it prohibits citizens of the United States from opening bank accounts in foreign countries, or it makes it so they put onerous reporting requirements on the foreign banks, and they don't want to comply.
Right.
Okay, so they won't open you an account. Now, when that first happened, was an article in Wall Street Journal or someplace. Somebody said, and it was all about this, and the story was centered around a American gal who married a Swiss guy, and she went down and got her bank account closed. They closed her bank account because of it, okay? And so they were going over the story, and then way down in the story, there's one paragraph that says, oh, we do have certain exceptions for U.S. nationals.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's great to know. Yeah, okay, great.
Here's what you're doing with the bank. You're giving them that affidavit so that if the IRS gives them any crap, they're going to go, look, they gave me this. See?
They get out of jail card.
Yep. Or open a bank account card, however you want to look at it.
Okay. All right. My next question is, if there's a national emergency declared where all resources and citizens are under the direct control of FEMA and there's a state of martial law, what happens to me as a national?
I think that it doesn't apply to you because FEMA is an administrative agency and all their control is regulatory, and you don't have to comply to those regulations anymore because they don't apply to you. That's what I'd say off the cuff. Now, here's the question that I'm always asked. What happens when this doesn't work, right? Which is, in essence, what you're asking, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we all know what time it is then, don't we?
I think we do. Time to get out.
Yes, well, it's time to get that old shooting iron and start blazing back.
Mm-hmm. All right, so as I understand it, under emergency powers...
Hold on, Dorothy. You know, this is my mother's name, so I'm predisposed to you. But we've got a commercial interruption coming up here, and we're going to reconvene on the other side.
Very well.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
All right, Sam, back that off here and see if we can get back on our conversation with Dorothy. Dorothy, can I ask you what part of Mexico are you living in, northern or central or southern?
I'm living in Baja, about an hour south of the border.
Oh, yeah,
south
okay.
Of
yeah, you're very, very south, very right south of San Diego, yeah. I hear there's a lot of Californians crossing the border to buy gas and groceries now because they're not absorbent.
Roger, there are a lot of them moving down here. When I first moved here 4 years ago, there were so many properties available for rent or sale. Now there's nothing. Nothing.
Yep. No,
they're
I can believe
moving
it.
Down here. Yeah.
I believe it. We got out early.
Yeah, I was lucky. I really I escaped from the lunatic asylum in Southern California.
I was told to get out back in when Obama was running. That's one of the reasons I left the country. A little voice came to me and says, you need to get out. And I didn't do anything about it. And it came to me again a little while later. And when I've learned when you hear the little voice twice, you damn well better take heed.
Yep.
And the ironic thing is, I'd never had a passport. And when I was going to move to Argentina, I had to have one. I reluctantly went to the post office and picked up a DS-11 and a DS-82 and went home and put my feet on the desk and started reading them. And at the top of the first page was the answer I've been looking for 15 years. That's a true story.
I believe it. So, may we go back to my two questions?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, as I understand it, under emergency powers, all constitutional rights become privileges that can be given or taken away.
All constitutional rights are privileges. The only rights the document gives you is under the 14th Amendment. Otherwise, you get protections of the Constitution with God-given rights. That term, constitutional rights, is so misused by the top attorneys in our whole damn movement.
Mm.
All of them. Constitutional rights. Well, I think so.
The Constitution.
Well, your civil rights are privileges. There are no such things as constitutional rights. It doesn't give you any rights. It only protects God-given rights.
Right, got it. Okay. All right, so then I know what to do there. And my last question is, can someone in the military repatriate, or do they have to wait till they're out?
I don't know. I can't. I would say that they can repatriate at any time because they're both correlated statuses. In other words, they're both the same. The State Department tells us in that document all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. Now, I don't know if I got the time to go into the how that happened and why, but that was the final move that they made was Brown versus Board of Education. They equalized the statuses to override Jim Crow, and 60 days later, Dorothy, 60 days to the day after Brown versus Board of Education, they put the 1954 Internal Revenue Code in, and that's what you're under today.
Well, I'm no longer under it. I'm a national.
Good for you. Well, you're still under it if you got either one of those two sections you're going to owe taxes. You'll never owe one on one, but you may have some railroad bonds or something. I don't know.
No. Okay. Roger, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your hard work and sharing this wonderful information and for helping me become a national.
I get so much joy out of this personally that I can't even put it into words. Really.
Let me tell you something else that may make you happy, too. That is that I am one of the biggest proselytizers for this that you can imagine.
Wonderful.
I mean, anybody that will listen to me, I'm promoting it.
Well, Dorothy, as John used to tell us from the stage up there when he's given those seminars, the only way I can protect my liberty is to help you protect yours. You've filed an affidavit. Now that burden's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I'm taking it.
Okay,
Roger. Thanks again.
We love to have soldiers in the field with shoulders at the wheel, so you're welcome to join us anytime on The Daily Show, Dorothy. It's real nice to meet you and talk with you, okay?
Well, thank you. My pleasure as well, Roger. Goodbye now.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie. Okay, who's next, Sam? Ralph in Connecticut. Well, I thought he was on a minute ago. Jeffrey in Texas, front and center.
Yes?
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello. Three things real quickly. Number one, Utatiqui.
Okay. Thank you. You know, sometimes in this life, you just have a mental block on things. Buddy, that's a mental block. I looked at that the first time and said, well, how in the hell do you say that?
Yeah, okay. Well, so the second thing is the comment about Connecticut being the constitutional state.
No.
The
Constitution, wow, that's what Ralph
said. Trick, they always use it.
You do stand up, Jeffrey?
All right, the third thing. You ready?
Yeah.
My one-page affidavit became a two-page affidavit because every state requires the notary to attach another page, and that's called the Ordinary Certificate of Acknowledgement. And it's printed by the National Notary Association.
Now, I've only heard that applicable in Texas. You tell me it's applicable in California. You tell me it's applicable in Texas, too?
The bottom of the page says, copyright 2020, National Notary Association. And so,
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a way around that, okay? You don't have to do two pages if you get two witnesses, and that stands as a notary.
That's correct, yes. But if you do go to a notary, they're required to add a page. And so I'm just going to slap them together and have these two pages printed on a piece of paper on both sides and done. Anyway, so I thought I'd bring that up.
I had a guy who was trying to get something notarized in Colorado, and he goes to the notary, and the notary starts reading his affidavit. And she says, I can't notarize this. You got to go to the courthouse. He had to go to the courthouse to get a notary when all a notary is required to do is to make sure that it's you that's signing it under penalties of perjury, and you got ID that proves it's you. That's the extent of their job. They're not legal advisors, they're not legal people, and they're out there giving legal advice.
Well, my credit union notary, she just got her diploma for being a notary, and so she's up on it all. She didn't give me any crap about this or that. Yeah. Just straightforward.
Well,
anyway, that's all I had for right now.
If you want to demur on it, just go get two witnesses. Same thing. Even, you know, right. The Secretary of State doesn't even require it be notarized. He just requires a declaration. But it's just good if you go ahead and do get it notarized, because it gives them an extra layer they got to go through to go after you.
Called weaponization. Yep.
That's what it is. I sure do. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling. You got anything else, or are you done?
Let's see. I forgot something. Urtitutu.
Uh-huh. Man, I have a real hard time with that. It's one of those dyslexic things, I guess. Thanks for making me laugh about it.
But I want the other people to hear the right word. I want the others to hear the right pronunciation.
Right. In a lot of ways, I got a tough skin, you know, so that's one of them. Other ways, I got a real thin skin, but that's not here nor there today. Anyway, thank you, Jeffrey.
All right. I'll talk to you Monday. Bye.
Okay, man. We'll see you then. Sam, who's next? Chris in Georgia, the great state of Georgia. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Roger.
Should I say the formerly great state of Georgia? Is that more accurate?
Well, it's in the news these days. This is Chris Busing from in our old days.
I've known this guy for 30 years, okay? Hey, Chris.
Yeah, and I could tell a lot of stories about you.
Don't you dare.
The crowd out. Going back to Atlanta, Georgia in the 90s, the early 90s, and all those meetings we had before you could go on YouTube or the internet or anything like that. But right. So I like to listen to Mike Rivero, and then I stumbled into Radio Ranch. And so I have a few questions or a concern. Your stuff, your material, I've been paying attention to
for 30
since
years.
Well, back in the right.
I used to give these seminars when I just knew the tax side every week at our local Patriot group in Atlanta. Chris was part of that. He's been exposed to it for a long time.
Well, here's my problem, and I don't know if it's your problem or not, but I consider myself competent in national political issues, but the stuff that you talk about, which I respect entirely and have, is still a different language for me. And
well,
I'm intrigued very much by it, but for some reason it's a little bit like a foreign dialect.
Well, it is.
And I don't really know what to do about it.
Well, you sit down and start studying. I mean, you know, the way they've done all this is by, you know, the treachery and deception of words. That's the title of my book, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. And that's what they've done. And you got to go in there and untie those knots. You know, you go back to James 1:8, and it says a double-minded man is uncertain in all of his ways, not some of his ways, not part of his ways. And until you get those knots untied, you're a double-minded man. And that's how you get back into consciousness, is go back and find all those words in your subconscious that they've assigned an opposite definition to, and go back and assign the correct definition to the word. Every time you do that, you get a slice of consciousness back. It may not be easy, but it's a process that works.
Okay, so then maybe before I get on your radio show and start spouting off, go back and read your books first. I mean, I'm serious.
The book is very solid. Because John and Glenn took my manuscript and edited it into the book, I'm not taking credit for that. I give them credit for that. They saw what this was. They knew the impact of it. They put a lot of effort into re-editing that book and getting it out into the, as it's been called, told me, it's a masterpiece, and I believe it is, you know,
Is it available?
Sure.
Is it available?
Yeah, it sure is. Over at the Book Patch, you got to go to the Book Patch. It's not on Amazon and stuff. We have one specific publisher, a Jew, by the way, named Victor Ostrovsky, interestingly enough, who turned on the Mossad years ago, wrote books about it, and they wouldn't get them published, and I think that's why he started his own book publishing company. Anyway, it's called the Book Patch.
bookstore.com and go in there and in the search engine, go to the bookstore, the little option up at the top, bookstore, and put Sovereign to Surf in and hit enter and it'll come up. Okay. Now, this is for the audience and you too, Chris. Back in the days when you and I knew each other, John and Glenn, when I was still a student of theirs in the 6 months they were teaching, they wrote a book called, and we titled it, they did a contest among the students who could come up with the title, and somebody came up with The United Slaves of America. And it's a good book, okay? And I had totally forgotten about it, totally, 100%. And one of my students stumbled on a used copy on the internet, paid $200 for it almost, and we are about
to republish. What's the name of that book?
Well, it's called United Slaves of America. We're about to republish it. We may get word on it this week. But that's going to be available, too. It's almost 400 pages. It doesn't have any of this stuff in it. It's all on the tax system and the feudal system and all this ancient law and all that stuff. But for people that are wanting to learn basics, man, I know it's invaluable. David Strait, you remember friend? So you remember our friend David Strait? Not the David Strait that's teaching.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a David Strait in Atlanta who was a dear, dear friend of mine. And David Strait was a multimillionaire, self-made, and he had a big Christmas party every year. And one year, the year that book came out, he bought a copy of that book for everybody that attended that Christmas party.
United Slaves of America.
Correct.
And what's the other the book that you recommend right before that?
No, it's my book. It's got my name on it.
Mentioned two books, and what's the priority reading? That book?
If you really want to get up to speed currently, the priority reading is a two-page document that's on the MatrixDocs.com website called How to Escape the Matrix. And that is an update on my book that was published 11 and a half years ago that I don't want to go in and mess with because it's a masterpiece on its own. Okay, and I don't like writing, so I hadn't cranked out another one. But when this election fiasco happened, I wrote that two-page How to Escape the Matrix. It's two pages of bullet points on what's gone on, and that is as good as I can give
you. And where do you find that?
TheMatrixDocs.com. The D-O-C-S. D-O-C-S. TheMatrixDocs.com. There's a number of interviews over there you might want to listen to, Chris. There's a bunch of documents and exhibits and stuff. It's not a fancy website. It's just an information website, okay?
Okay, and then you also wrote another book, which...
No, I've only written one.
From Sovereign to Serf.
Correct. Sovereign to Serf. Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words.
Was that a book?
Yes, it's a book. It's at the book patch.
Okay, because that's the one that I hear people talking about.
So. Well, it's a great book. The legal argument on that is a masterpiece, man. I mean, it really is. It's because John and Glenn wrote it. I wrote a manuscript. They turned it into the book.
Okay, I have another concern and a question before, you know, my time is up.
Well, our time might be up here in a minute, but go ahead.
Well, this is what I called you with. Okay, in the old days, we used to have these long, good discussions, and some of them came from the point of view that you know what, the smelly stuff's going to hit the fan, and all of this getting out of the system using constitutional, lawful, legal means won't matter if there's a war, because in war, in the fog of war, everything is trashed, even due process, everything.
Well, I guess you know what
time. What is your answer on that?
Well, my question is the same one I answered earlier. I get it asked all the time, what happens when they don't recognize this? That's basically your question, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, we all know what time it is then, don't we?
Yes, but they are still recognizing it, right?
As far as I know, you can still. See, Chris, what you don't understand and haven't internalized yet, they've got to recognize it because it's their system and their fraud. We've just uncovered the words with the magic definitions that expose their fraud and allow this to happen. So if they don't recognize it, they've got to take off the mask and be open tyrants. That's their only choices. They're in checkmate.
People in checkmate sometimes don't obey the rules anymore, and they take the whole chessboard.
I'm the first one to say this makes them more dangerous, okay? I'll be the first one to say that.
All right, next question I wanted to ask you was about...
We're told to redress our grievances in every peaceful way we can do, and this is the last block on the stage here.
Okay, what about the state sovereignty movement? Well, what are the nuts and bolts of how to make Georgia back to a de jure instead of a de facto state?
I think that there's two layers. I think that the Georgia state is still there. It's just been overridden by the state of Georgia. And I will use the example of a guy in North Carolina named John Ainsworth, who some of the audience are familiar with John's work. And he created North Carolina State at least over 15 years ago, probably more like 20.
Actually, yes, there was a huge seminar that I went to of his, along with about 40 other people in Atlanta, right. And I remember the name, and he did a good presentation. How do we do it in Georgia?
I'll call John Ainsworth and ask him. I don't know. That's not my gig. I deal with individuals on their sovereignty and their status. I don't deal with groups. Okay. We'll get enough people, right. Individuals, maybe you can have a group because you're all on the same page. The Anna and these people that are trying to start these state assemblies are giving them bad information. They're throwing politics and personalities into trying to build some state assembly of people that don't even have their status correctly made. You think that's going to work?
You mean it'd be better to correct our personal statuses before we jump on board with a state sovereignty movement?
Yeah, well, you can't correct your personal status by doing a sovereignty movement. You got to correct the status. Just like all these common law grand juries, Chris, that popped up since the Murrah building. Have you ever seen any of them accomplish anything? No, never. Over all these years.
I remember.
Why not? Because there are a bunch of serfs trying to access the common law they don't have access to and overthrow the lord of the manor. That's why they're not having any success.
All right, but what do you think about, let's say there's a local candidate in Georgia, state representative, I know a few of them, and they really try to win for the right reasons, of course, election fraud trashed them. What? Yes.
Yep. I believe in voting locally. You're not going to affect any national stuff. It's not going to have any impact, but you can affect locally. And the old saying that's been around since I've been in this thing is all politics are local, and I believe that's true.
Okay, but my question is, some of these good people I know who I've given campaign contributions to, and their heart is in the right place, they know nothing about what you're talking about, and
your job as somebody that contributes to their campaign is to learn it and go educate them.
All right, but my question is, even with them knowing nothing, and they threw their hat in the ring, and I'm talking about the Georgia Republican primaries a few months ago, is it still worthwhile for them to run for office, even though they know nothing about your material?
Well, I mean, they can get up there and cause a ruckus, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, or Matt Gaetz, or some of the other good ones, handful of good ones up there, Jim Jordan. But can they really be effective?
Well, I don't
know.
Are
they really effective up there? I mean, like in the national level, Chris. Here's the scheme, see? You elect representatives, they're supposed to represent you, and they go up there and pass legislation, right? Well, they pass that legislation onto the deep state, the administrative agencies under subject matter, and they reinterpret it in the form of regulations that apply to the serfs, and sometimes it's 180 degrees from the original intent of the legislation. How are those people representing you?
Yes, I understand. And I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene knows about your material.
She doesn't know jack squat about it. She's got her whole basket full dealing with it, with the Indians.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, so I don't know what she knows or doesn't know about your material, but she sure is making a lot of noise, and a lot of people are paying attention.
Well, yeah, they're trying to swat her. They call SWAT teams on her twice last week. She must be doing something right. Okay, but see, my deal's not with Marjorie Taylor Greene. My deal's with Chris Busing. I do this on an individual level because we can never have any effect collectively until we get a bunch of strong individuals. Now that happens, and now we're a force, and it's a different ballgame. But until then, it's not. I mean, I can tell you one representative that knew about it was James Traficant, because he got up in front of the House of Representatives 20 years ago and said, ladies and gentlemen of the House, we're nothing but trustees overseeing the largest bankruptcy in the history of the world. That was James Traficant.
Yeah, they hurt him pretty bad.
Yeah, well, they put him in jail for 7 years, and he ended up dying. I don't know if they were involved in that or not, probably. Okay, so this is an individual deal at this stage. You know, I hadn't made this announcement. I'll tell you because we're right at the end of the program. I wasn't on John B. Wells' caravan at midnight this past Wednesday because he fell and had an accident, hit his head on a marble countertop, and didn't do any shows for the week. I'm rescheduled on caravan at midnight tomorrow night. And that may be the platform we're looking for. I don't know. One of them, when we get to one of these next big platforms, is going to blow this thing wide open. I don't know which one it's going to be. I take it one day at a time. I prayed to God. I said, you open the door. I can't do it. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but you got to open the door. So that's what I'm waiting on, for him to open the door, okay?
Yes. No, I all right, Roger, thank you.
Okay, Chris. All right. And good to talk to you. Call into our daily show or go talk to Harvey. Harvey can explain all this to you, okay?
I just talked to him an hour ago for about an hour. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all?
That's all.
I'll see you, Chris. Nice to talk to you again. It's been a long. How are your two daughters doing?
They're wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. No grandchildren yet, but they're great. And we're all driving up to a wedding up in Tennessee next weekend. And they have wonderful husbands.
I'm sure they won't.
You remember them.
I remember them. And, yeah, please pass along my regards. I'm sure they don't remember me, but I remember them, okay?
Well, you know, I don't know. They should, because you're the one that stopped Rick Tyler's shenanigans.
And on that note, I'll see you, Chris. I'll see y'all next Sunday or before on our show, or John B. Wells or something. Good show tonight. Thanks for all the callers. See you soon. Ciao, ciao.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can.